Hello, everyone. To those I haven't yet said hello, bless you all. Dearly beloved. Well, Iola went and stole my message. That's all I can say. Iola. She went and stole my message. But praise God. It's just amazing how he organizes and fits things together. So bless his name. And this morning is really about, I suppose the basic thing is about the blood of sprinkling. But there's a lot to get to before we get to that. And the whole thing of that we walk by faith. This whole morning, really, I think the underlying thing is that our faith is in who we are, who we belong to, who our God is, and who we are. Right? That's really our foundation of what we've been talking about today. And we know for sure that we have an enemy of our souls that is, he is constantly at work to undermine those truths. That's what I'm going to speak about today. The tactics of the enemy and how we overcome these things. If we have confidence in God, I think it's in 1 John, he tells us that we can pray with the faith that God is hearing us. If we have that, if our hearts are confident and are not and do not condemn us, then we have that real assurance in our hearts that God is hearing us and that we can walk forward and we can lay hold of him. So what happens is that the enemy comes to destroy in many different ways the confidence that we have in God. He first of all will come and come against our identity. The classic one is when he came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God." So the question mark is, are you really? Are you sure? Are you sure that you're the Son of God? And Jesus, of course, said that the very stones, or that the bread would not be, can't remember, but that the bread would not be turned to stones, or the stones could be turned to bread. One of them other, I can't remember. Anyway, the whole thing is that the enemy comes to say, are you sure? Are you really sure that that's what God said to you? Are you sure he is with you and that you are together? Are you sure about that? And as we go on, there's this constant voice that would speak into our minds. We have to recognize it's not us, it's the enemy, speaking into our minds that comes and tries to destroy the identity of who we are. Now, the tactics he will attack our bloodline. He will say, well, your parents said this about you, or you did that, and your grandparents and whatever, even stuff we may not know about, he will use it as an accusing voice before the Father against us. And he will spew, it says in Revelation, that the enemy comes to, the accuser of the brethren comes night and day to accuse us before the Father. So there's this constant flow of the enemy against us, against who we are, against what we are, against our bloodline, against our conduct, against everything to the Father. And these words come into our minds. That's why we can lose confidence of who we are, because the enemy, all the time there'll be a little niggle in our minds, are you sure? Has God really spoken to you? And there'll be this feeling of doubt that will come into us. He also tries to categorize us by putting us into a box, by saying, this is the type of person you are, and you'll never be any different. And we have to know that this is not God-given. We are not to be pinned down. Our destinies are not to be pinned down to a frame that the enemy speaks into us to say, you will never change. this is your life, this is the way you are, and that's your lot, basically. And this is not of God, this is the work of the enemy. He creates a sense of unworthiness in us. We're just not worthy. We're just not worthy of God coming to our aid, of God blessing us because of this and this and this and this and this. We're not worthy. And so he undermines that confidence that we have in God. And we have these constant and persistent thoughts of being less than we should be. We should be this, we should be that, but we're less than that. So there's this feeling in our innermost heart that we are less than, that our conduct doesn't measure up, that we are not dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, and all these many things, the enemy would come and try and undermine who we are and really what Jesus has done on the cross. So he affects two major areas in our lives. The first one is what you and I think about ourselves. You know, our inner thoughts are, what do I think about myself? What is my basis of who do I think I am? Might be a good thing to dwell there a little bit. Who do I think I am? We all have an image of possibly who we think we are, who we think, what we'd like others to think about us. But you know that little deep place in our hearts? Who do I think that I am? And this is where the enemy really gets to us. And if we're battling with shame or condemnation or guilt, it's very hard to believe God because we feel we have no standing. Now, we know in our heads what Jesus has done. We know that, and we acknowledge that, and we believe that. But this constant voice undermines that we can stand confidently before the throne of grace because we're not worthy, because we have shame or guilt or this condemnation in our inner thoughts. So that is a work of the enemy, and we need to really recognize the work of the accuser of the brethren. Night and day, persistent, spewing forth constantly. So we need to recognize that that's a tactic of the enemy, and we'll learn just now how to stand against it. But this is one of the major ways the enemy stops us from entering into our destinies because we don't feel worthy. We don't feel able. We feel we're in a box. And who we are is this awful person. So we're filled with that shame or that condemnation or that and taking on board the accusations and believing them. And then the other way that the enemy works against us, he actually causes other people to think wrongly about us. He whispers into their ears lies about who you are. And they begin to take on board, this is who you are. And of course, we're not able to control everybody. We can't control colleagues. We can't control people out there, people we work with, people we mix with in our social groups, or we can't control that. But one of the tactics of the enemy is to whisper into the ears of other people lies about us. And they believe it, and they take it on board, and then certain things get put into place. So why does he do that? Because he knows, this I'm talking about Satan, he knows that if we know who we are, and if other people know who we are, then doors of opportunity will open for us that will extend the kingdom of God. That's why he works so hard to speak against us in our own hearts and through other people. Now, we also all have a decision to make that we don't agree with the accuser of the brethren. both agreeing about ourselves, but that we don't agree with the lies he'll be speaking into our ears about other people. We need to really recognize that when we start getting thoughts that are somewhat either disrespectful, or they are not in agreement, or there's something that we don't like, that we are being influenced by the accuser of the brethren. Now, we can make a choice. We can just say, no, I'm not going to believe that. That's beloved brother or beloved sister. I will not entertain those thoughts. I was in the hairdressers recently, and there was this great big picture on the wall. And it was the picture of it was like a painting, you know, a poster or something, of this woman with long hair, but in her hair were all these little birds everywhere. And as I looked at that, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. And I remembered something years ago that an older believer, a woman, had shared with me. You can't stop, she said, the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair. Yeah? And when I looked at that, I was reminded of birds building a nest. Now, that's a picture, to my thinking, of the enemy whispering things and building a nest in your hair, but in your hair, building up something in your head that is against yourself, or you have something against somebody or people. So we can prevent that. We don't have to accept that. That's within our jurisdiction. We can say no to what the enemy says about us. We can also say, and I hope we are all doing that, say no to what the enemy will whisper in our ear about other people that is detrimental to them. Even if we never, and pray we never speak it out, but if we do just think about it, we can, because you know it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And eventually, if you entertain those thoughts, eventually you're going to say it. So the thing to do is to, no. You can immediately tell the enemy, I refuse that thought. I'm not having that thought. And you just turn your mind to whatsoever is good, lovely, of good repute, all those things that I think it's in Philippians that the word talks to us about. So we have a choice whether we agree or not. But, you know, it says in, I think it's Isaiah, that there'll be an increase of the government of God and of his peace. But God can only increase his government and his peace through his people, yeah, who walk on this earth. It's not this ethereal, vague, wonderful thing that happens, you know, apart from us. We are the ones through whom God will increase his government and his peace. So therefore, as we are going through our daily time, walking through our town in Whitney, walking, or Gloucester, Cirencester, Gloucester. So we then have that decision whether to bring about the government of God and peace or side with the enemy. Now, we don't do this, you know, we don't consciously side with the enemy, do we? I mean, no believer would do that. But we have to watch what we think and what we speak. And that is either life or it is death. And we choose life or death. Make your choice. And may I strongly suggest that we choose life. But that life comes with the peace, the shalom of God that we can share. When we are talking with neighbors or somebody that we know, and the whole talk is about maybe the virus or whatever, we can speak words of encouragement, can't we? We can speak words of peace. We can speak words of life. And the Holy Spirit will give us those very words to say. I want to really talk about the difference between the anointing of God and the favor of God. Because if you remember that the story about Saul's father's donkeys, remember that in Samuel, the book of Samuel? And his donkeys go missing. And so the father says to Saul, go and find my donkeys. And Saul takes a servant, and off they go searching for the donkeys, and they go all over the place, and they hunt high and low, and they wander. They're away for, I suppose, several days, and they don't find the donkeys. And then they get the bright idea, let's go. If we're quite close to this place, and we know that Samuel the prophet's there, he should know where the donkeys are. So otherwise, if we too much longer, the father's going to get all concerned about us. Let's go and ask him. We'll ask the prophet, where are our donkeys? So, of course, they go. And this is Samuel, the Samuel the prophet. Now, of course, that was their purpose, to go to the prophet. But God's purpose was that Samuel the prophet would anoint Saul as king over Israel. I mean, Saul had no idea at this time, but off he goes. And so Samuel takes him aside after the meal. I think there was this big meal. Takes him aside and anoints his head with oil. But then what he does is he kisses him. Now, this is might well have been a cultural thing, but God doesn't mention that all the way through when it was when people kissed each other in a cultural way. So why did God mention it there? And that kiss was not only the anointing to be king, but now kissed with favor. He was kissed with favor. Saul was. I mean, we know he didn't end up well, but nevertheless, God gave him the kiss of favor. So it is one thing to be anointed by God, and it's another thing to be kissed with favor. So we can walk in our, be walking in our way, be going in our way, and there's the anointing of God on who we are and what we're doing. But our sphere of influence can be limited because we've not been yet kissed with favor. So we need to seek God for that kiss of favor. Because if the accuser of the brethren is whispering things about you, the doors that God wants to open before you will not be opened. So God needs that we walk in that kiss of favor within our sphere of influence so that the right doors will open at the right time. When you consider that the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Obed-Edom, I think it was for a year, I think it was, and God really blessed his house. He blessed his house and they prospered and they did well. But then the time came when the Ark of the Covenant was moved to Jerusalem. So the influence and the blessing and the favor moved from one house to a nation. And the nation was blessed because of the favor that was there. So of course the question is, well, how do we get a kiss of favor? So we have to silence the voice of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren that is speaking against us. And we also have to silence that voice of the that voice that the enemy has induced through people who are speaking against us. So there's two ways. God wants to change our identity. He wants to break that small mindset that we have of ourselves, that we are believing what the enemy is saying about us. He wants to release us. He wants to deliver us so that we believe the truth that God has about us. And do you remember that in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the thoughts that I have about you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God's intention for each and every one of his people is to give them that future and hope, but that knowledge of it, that knowledge that we are the called of God, that we are those who have the identity of God as our Father, and that we have the identity that we are His people, and His desire is to bless us and to favor us. And what we have to do is silence the voice of the enemy. And if you remember again in Revelation, it's that they overcame him, that is the saints of God, overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the voice of their testimony, and they loved their lives unto death. And so we wouldn't need to focus on maybe that part that says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, when we are reading, I would really like us to actually read this one. That's Hebrews 12, 24. Let's go there. Hebrews 12, 24. Hebrews 12, 24 says this. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. It says the blood of Jesus that speaks, that's present tense, yeah? So the blood of Jesus hasn't just spoken and that our past sins are forgiven, but it speaks continually. It's all the time speaking into our present situation, into what we are, is happening in our lives. So what we do is we remember that this blood is speaking on our behalf. So when the accuser of the brethren speaks lies about ourselves into our own hearts and minds, we take up the position of the blood of Jesus that is speaking, and we call in the witness of the blood of Jesus, who is speaking always on our behalf, and we withstand the voice of the enemy. We speak it out. Just as Iolo mentioned that we have to speak out the word of God, we speak out and we say, the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf. That blood that was sprinkled is speaking on my behalf. In the Old Testament, when they sprinkled the blood, it was always for cleansing. It was for the cleansing of the leper. It was for the cleansing of the unclean things. So the sprinkled blood is for cleansing. And we declare that the blood of Jesus, that sprinkled blood, is speaking on our behalf. And we speak that into the spiritual realm. And there's another thing that when we consider of the voice of the enemy speaking lies about us. Isaiah 54:7, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will prove to be in the wrong, because this is your inheritance as a son, a daughter of the Most High God. And so we have the right, because of the righteousness of God in us, to condemn every voice that rises up against us. And we declare it null and void. We silence the voices that rise up against us in judgment. We say, you have no place, you have no right. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And the blood that speaks on my behalf silences you. And we can walk in the confidence that those voices have been silenced and will continue to be silenced. There was something that the Lord put on my heart when I was seen just now and when we were worshiping. And it was the fact that there are voices in this community that are speaking against us. They have a legal right. The enemy has a legal right to speak against us because of past happenings in this fellowship. And we have to remove the legal right. Because I had a strong sense that this place, I'm not saying only this place, but this is one of those places of refuge that God has established. The enemy is preventing us from entering into our destiny in here at Oasis as the people of God, because there is a legal right of the voices that are allowed to speak against us. So I believe that we need to silence those voices that is really the accuser of the brethren. We're not talking about flesh and blood, okay? The accuser of the brethren is speaking lies into the ears of the unbelievers, and maybe even some believers who have been hurt from this congregation. And I'm talking about years gone by. I'm not talking about recent things. Years gone by, and which means we can't break through. We can't break through into our community because there's a legal right against us. And so we need to, and even today, this morning, to stand and start to declare some truths into the spiritual realm. A, for our own selves. We want to make sure that we ourselves are walking in the fullness of the truth of who we are, that we belong to God, and that we have an identity in Christ that is incorruptible by the power of the blood, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we also want to declare this morning that the blood that speaks on our behalf silences the voice of the enemy that is speaking lies and has that legal ground. We have right now got to deal with the legal ground that the enemy has, and we do that by confessing. We confess on behalf of others, on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of others, so that we can take away any legal case the enemy has against our fellowship here. So perhaps we could stand and do that. Let's do that. We're going to first of all deal with anything ourselves. If you want to do that, that's fine. We're going to deal with whatever voices the enemy has against our own selves that we've believed and that is hindering us from really walking into the power of the Holy Spirit, into our true identity. And then we want to receive the kiss of favor, don't we? So again, we're going to silence those voices that are speaking against us personally. There may not be any voices speaking against us personally, okay? I'm not saying there is for everyone, but there may be for some of us. And we want to silence those voices. And then we also want to silence the voices that are speaking against our fellowship. Because I had a picture and I saw many people coming in here who were really sick, and God was, and people, believers, I wouldn't say it was only one or two, it was believers were praying, laying hands on the sick, and they were recovering. I do think that this is a place of refuge that God wants to establish, and that we need to walk and work with Him. And so we have to be alert. We are a people who are alert. We're not sleeping, we're not dozing, we're not thinking of other things. We've not gone off somewhere. We are alert and alive to what God wants to do in us and through us. So, let's begin. Lord, I want my identity and my innermost thoughts to come into perfect alignment with who I am. And so I just speak that the power of the blood of Jesus over my thoughts, over my inner being, that everything within me, all my thinking, all my thoughts, all my speaking comes into alignment with the blood that has been sprinkled and speaks on my behalf. So we thank you for the witness of the blood of Jesus, and we declare that no weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon, whether it's a curse, whether it's from our lineage, whether it's a curse, whether it's voices speaking against us, wherever we may be in our sphere of influence, we declare that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we right now declare that every voice that's speaking against us to be null and void, to be null and void in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we have your kiss of favor on our lives. And we thank you, our God, that doors that you want to open, doors of opportunity that you want to open on our behalf, we thank you that you open them, Lord. You open those doors of opportunity, even within our workplace, even within this community, Lord. We want those doors of opportunity, that kiss of favor to be on us, Lord. But we come right now and we confess, Father, as a community of believers, of what has taken place in this place in years gone by. We confess, Lord, that spirit of adultery. We confess that before you. We pray the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, that sprinkled blood, that blood of the cross. We pray that cleansing of the blood of all that sin to be washed away. Washed away. We thank you that the blood avails for us, and we confess the sins of division and confusion that reigned in this place at one time. We confess that in the name of Jesus, and we pray you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we are no longer under the sin of the past that has been here. We thank you, our God, that the blood of Jesus avails for us right now, and we are cleansed from everything, all unrighteousness, all division, all confusion, all the sin of the flesh, the world, and the devil has gone in the name of Jesus. And we stand on legal ground right now. We are on legal ground because of the blood of our Savior Jesus. And we call on the witness of the blood to speak on our behalf. Whenever the enemy would come with words of lies and accusation, we say the blood of Jesus speaks on our behalf in the court of heaven, that we will move forward and we will fulfill our destinies individually and corporately as a fellowship, as the body of Christ in this place. And this place, our lives will fulfill the high calling of God that you have destined for us before the foundation of the world. May there be words of favor spoken by this community towards this fellowship. Words of favor, words of truth, words, Lord, that will open doors of opportunity for us to minister your word, your way, your truth into this community, into this town, into this area, into this nation. So, Father, we bless you. We thank you. And we thank you that you are a God who has made a way for us. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this is a beginning of a new day within this community. Thank you, Jesus. Even within our own individual lives. Thank you, Jesus. Our hearts are fixed on you. We dwell under the shadow of the Almighty in that secret place. We thank you, Lord, that you take us on, each and every one of us. We bless your name. We bless your name, for you are a God who fulfills his word. Amen, Lord. Amen. Thank you.